Scripture today, Philippians 4, 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition we give thanksgiving, present with your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. Be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
A few Sundays ago, on Thanksgiving, I had the privilege of hearing a thoughtful sermon by Bill. And he reminded us of all the things in this country that we have to be thankful for. And he really got me to thinking, and as my dad would have said, you could smell the sawdust burning, and smoke was coming out of my ears. And he mentioned some things that really got me to thinking, such as people of all religions want to give thanks. And he talked about somehow thankfulness and prayer being linked. He talked of a human to God thanking, a vertical relationship, and he talked about a human-to-human thanking, an appreciation, a gratitude, a horizontal relationship. And Mike's grandfather, Don, spoke quite a number of months ago about that human-to-human appreciation and thanking. Then I heard Pat's sermon on faith, hope, and love last week, and I sensed that this also had something to do with thankfulness and the thankful heart. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I know it is good and right to give thanks to God. It's said that there's an empty space in our heart, a space that only God can fill, and people crave to have that space filled. Maybe, like Bill indicated, there's also an empty space in our heart for thanksgiving, and that all people crave to give thanks to someone greater than them. But I also know that God never seems to ask us to do things that don't also benefit us, that aren't necessary to a healthy life. So for the next little while, I'd like to look deeper into the thankful heart and examine the practice of being thankful. In my sermon today, I'd like to share 10 quick points about the benefits of having a thankful heart. I'd then like to look at four Bible characters who practiced thankful living. And finally, I'll attempt to draw some conclusions about it all. So what are the benefits of a thankful heart? The first benefit is that it makes us mindful, and that's a word you hear a lot today. It takes us out of our past and all the regrets that are there, and it leaves the future and all of the worries that are there for another day. Thanking God for our day right now as it stands brings mindful joy to us. If there were no other benefit to be found, this alone is huge. It's a real life changer, but there is much more. Giving thanks to God grounds us in the faith. It gets our eyes off of ourselves and back onto God. And when our eyes are on God, we gain a much larger perspective on life. Things that seemed overwhelming and burdensome become manageable. And small things that we've blown out of proportion seem to shrink or even disappear. Being thankful, mindfully, each day helps us to see our many gifts. We learn to see more clearly just how much we have to be grateful for. We remember God's goodness in his many blessings. Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11 says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. There comes a bit of prayer element again. Giving thanks reminds us about our reliance on God. We are not fully self-sufficient in this life. God is our provider. And giving thanks to God reminds us that all blessings and gifts are freely and graciously given to us by his hands. Fifthly, thankful believers are glass half full believers. A heart of gratitude leaves no room for complaining or bitterness. It is impossible to be thankful and negative or ungrateful at the same time. So we could say that being thankful is a choice. It's a choice of how we will view our world, half empty or half full. Just by being thankful, we can help defeat evil in our lives. Thankfulness makes the enemy flee. The forces of darkness can't stand to be around a heart that gives thanks. Because in 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, "We are a fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." And by expressing our gratitude to other people in those horizontal relationships I talked about, we create a more gentle and forgiving society, a kinder world of courtesy and genuine etiquette, a world that is repellent to evil, a world that edges out the devil. And by thanking God, we put control where it belongs. We're not in control, but we have a mighty God who is. He is the potter, and we are the clay. Giving thanks keeps us humble. It keeps us in a place of dependency on God. As we acknowledge each gift and each blessing and each near miss and each triumph, we realize more and more how much we need him. A thankful heart opens the way for God to do even more in our life. It leads to even more abundance and blessings in our lives. Think of it. A thankful heart is a heart that's right with God. It invites his presence. And then his presence renews and refreshes us. God loves to give good gifts to his children. He delights in our thankfulness and pours out his spirit on those who give him honor and gratitude, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, as it says in Ephesians 3:20. But even in the face of God's abundance, oddly enough, gratitude opens the door to simplicity. Mindful, thankful living for today in the present allows the believer to live with less and still feel great fulfillment. And then with contentment in a more simple life, thankful people have the energy and the resources to give back to their community and their family and their friends. And then thankfulness morphs into generosity. So, who can we look to in the Bible to see a demonstration of thankfulness in action? My first choice today is Hannah. Her story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in the Old Testament. And her story is a common one. Hannah could not have children and withstood constant irritation and bullying, you might say, from another wife. Her husband loved her and treated her kindly, but Hannah longed for a child. She often wept and fasted and prayed in bitterness of soul. Hannah was really hurting. She displayed her grief so dramatically that the priest thought she was drunk. In the course of time, Hannah did have a baby boy and named him Samuel, which sounds like the Hebrew for heard of God. And how did Hannah thank God? By giving her son, her 3-year-old boy, whom she had pined for and wept bitterly for, to the service of God. 1 Samuel 1:26-28 says, "And she said to him," Eli the priest, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord." While I can't imagine doing what Hannah did, I chose this story because Hannah gave all of herself in her relationship to God. She grieved with all her heart, she prayed with all her energy, and she thanked God with everything of value to her that she had. You could say, to coin a phrase, that she lived for God like no one was watching. The second Bible character I chose is King David, particularly in 2 Samuel 6. And this is the story of the arrival of the Holy Ark of the Covenant to the city of David. And the Ark of the Covenant was a sacred chest made by the ancient Israelites according to God's command and design. It was built of acacia wood, and it was lined inside and out with gold. And it held the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. It held a golden jar of manna and Aaron's rod that had budded. The ark was associated with the presence of God. So this was a big deal. Now, King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. David, the king, danced literally like no one was watching, in his joy and thanksgiving, without care for his dignity or station, only for God. But Saul's daughter saw David giving thanks, and she despised him in her heart. "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would." And David said to her, in verses 21 to 22, "It was before the Lord who chose me, rather than your father or anyone from his house, when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people in Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." David lived for the Lord and truly thanked the Lord by dancing like no one was watching. And he was despised for it. There are people who will disapprove and despise your thankful attitude. But like David, we can say, "It was before the Lord who chose me, before I was born, while I was yet a sinner. It was the Lord who chose me. I will celebrate before the Lord." The third character I chose was the leper in Luke 17. Let's see if I can find this. There it is. In this story, Jesus responds to the desperate cries of 10 men with leprosy. He heals them of their disease, yet only one man returns to thank him. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." You know, when we hear this story, and we feel so let down that only one man saw fit to come back and thank Jesus. Only 1/10 of the lepers gave thanks. Jesus rightfully deserved thanks from all 10. After all, only he could heal them. They could not heal themselves. Only 1/10. But where have we heard that figure before? In tithing. When 1 out of 10 lepers returns to thank Jesus, we're disappointed. When we are facing giving up 1/10 of our income, it might seem like a lot, too much. Yet in reality, God possesses 10 out of 10 of everything. I certainly need to strive to remember that in my giving, because giving back to God, as we saw with Hannah, is a way of thanking God. The final Bible character I chose is Mary, mother of Jesus, at the time when she is pregnant with Jesus. A young girl, a virgin, as yet unmarried, the circumstances must have been overwhelming, but Mary declares herself the Lord's servant. And in a supernatural encounter with Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit descends on Elizabeth. Faced with and even overtaken by that Holy Spirit, Mary's doubts must have faded, and the holiness of the situation erupts within her into a song we now call the Magnificat. I'll read you a portion of that song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Her story gives us hope when life overwhelms us. God covers us with his holy presence, and we can sing our own version of the Magnificat. His own Holy Spirit is our confidence when we are asked to do something too hard for ourselves in our own power. The four characters I've discussed this morning all gave thanks to God. Hannah had nothing to lose. King David had everything to lose. The leper was honored to be able to thank Jesus in the flesh. And Mary, though completely overwhelmed, could not help but cry out in thanksgiving when in the presence of the Lord. And so we, in all circumstances of life, can give thanks to God wholeheartedly, also, like no one is watching. In Philippians 4:6, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what does it produce? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, we are to give thanks. So you might be thinking, well, do I thank him for the trials before I see the reasons behind them? It's not so much giving thanks for the pain or the loss, but for the good that our Lord can bring, even out of terrible circumstances. It is not a denial of the suffering. It is not the absence of tears when hurt comes. It is just the confident knowledge that God works out his good will in us, no matter how terrible the ordeal. It is a matter of trust. Hope is a matter of trust. Faith is a matter of trust. Love is a matter of trust. And thanksgiving is a matter of trust. God is the potter. We are the clay. Isaiah 45:9, woe to those who quarrel with their maker, who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does the work say, the potter has no hands? God has created each one of us as he wants us to be. It is our choice and our responsibility to be all that he has made us to be. It is our choice and our responsibility to give thanks for all that he has given to us. In doing so, we can turn disappointments and dissatisfactions into our joys and fulfillments. Just like the clay in the potter's hands, if we remain pliable to his will and direction, we will be transformed into something beautiful and valuable and useful to the maker. I'd like to close this morning with a portion of a poem by Mo Isam. I am but clay in the potter's hands. My fate is not mine to choose. I must trust that he knows his perfect plan, and that I have nothing to lose. As I'm led to the fire, the potter is gentle. He knows I can only handle so much. He assures me the end result will be plentiful if I trust in him and remain tough. So I face the adversity, the heat, and the pain, knowing the flame cannot bring my end. Though I ache and I hurt and I want to place blame, I cling to the hope that the potter sends. I can feel myself toughening, my sides growing stiff, as the heat of life sturdies my flanks. And though not long before I was struggling and burning, I now find myself giving thanks. Amen.